from ESPN kind of caught you at the end during your alma mater, being emotional, I guess. How, what was going through your mind to the end of the game?
Just, I mean, disappointed, painful. I mean, hurt. I mean, I'm human. I mean, I'm not a cyborg. I mean, this is my life, man. I mean, I've been here 23 years. I love this place. I give this place the very best I got every single day. Every day. There's never been a day that I haven't given Clemson every ounce of everything I have. I hurt. I mean, I've invested my life here. And when I don't get the job done, I'm responsible. And I feel the pain. You know, it's not just my pain. I feel everybody's pain. And, you know, but that comes with my job. And I don't run from that at all. I mean, I've been in these situations many times. I've had a lot of great days, and this is a very, very low day. But I also know that we'll get through it. And there'll be a lot more great days, you know. Nobody wants to hear that in this moment, but that's what drives me is you know, being able to look back at different moments in my life and my career, certainly, and, you know, you get through it. You got better. You know, there's a lot of great days. So I just hurt. I mean, I hurt. I mean, I hurt, obviously, just because this. I take pride in what I do. But I hurt for our team, hurt for our fans. And I certainly feel that.
Good morning, SEC. Oh, man. Mondays suck, right? But nothing makes a Monday better than hearing Dabo cry and whine. We got so much to get into. My dog's about to knock the desk over. Controversy. Oh, my God. We had controversy this weekend. We got a lot of it. We got teams. I'm wondering, are they back? And then we've got a few coaches that should probably pack that and much, much more in this episode of SEC Hangover. Oh, golly. Good morning. Good morning. Come on in. The water's fine. We got some football to talk about. Before we get going, though, I did want to remind the cousins that we are brought to you by MyBookie. And right now, if you jump over to MyBookie and you use promo code SEC, what is that going to get you? That's going to get you a free bet. Wait a minute. Free? Did I hear that right? I should say risk-free. That's how I should word this. That means if you place a bet this weekend with MyBookie and you use promo code SEC up to $500 and you lose, guess what? You get your $500 back. Come on now. And if you win, well, you keep your $500. It don't have to be for five, but hell, it could be for 20. It's a risk-free bet, so please take advantage of it and take those winnings over there to Tennessee Legend. Oh, my gosh. Part of the reason I'm dragging this morning is because of these boys over at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Awesome setup. We got a lot of folks coming in to Sevierville. I see it every day. The traffic's crazy. Swing by these locations and tell them the cousin sent you. Not only going to get a discount, but you will get a gift. In Nashville, which I am, look here, Vanderbilt doesn't get enough love. They're getting it today. If you're over here in Nashville, they also have a location as well. And if you can't get it sent to your package store, be sure to take a picture of that and send it to me, and you could be this week's Tennessee legend. Woo, doggy. So much to get into, and you know me. I like to start out with something a little fun, right? A lot of people talked about, and we're going to get to it here in a minute, about the Florida-Miami game, but one little side note you didn't think about was game day was down there, and who's part of game day now? Nick Saban. Nick Saban in Miami. I thought this was pretty funny.
Come back to the Dolphins. We forgive you. It's fine. You're good. We need your help. We need your help.
Come on.
We got this.
One more.
We forgive you, Coach. Come back. Miami's in trouble. Oh, you know who else is in trouble? The officiating crew of this damn football game. Auburn, Oklahoma. What a barn burner. We had a watch party with this one, and I'm telling you, the first half, ugh, right? A lot of defense, a lot of controversial calls, right? We had the infamous punt return that wasn't a punt return, and then we had the sideline hideout, not hideout play. This was a big game. Coming into this one, I told you that I felt like this was going to be an imposter, we're going to find out who the imposter is in the SEC. And be honest with you, I don't think we discovered anything except two really good football teams. I could have watched six more quarters of this football game. Truly, I maybe a different officiating crew, but this was a very entertaining football match. And I think the storyline is obviously going to be the controversy that comes from this thing. But these are two teams that, if you think about it, were in the dumps last year. And, you know, I'll show you the schedules here. Auburn, you know, this isn't the 90s. This isn't you lose one game, you're out. Shit, you got two mulligans on this golf course, and I feel like you used one of them against Oklahoma, but that doesn't mean Auburn is out of the race by no means. These games are winnable, right? I mean, obviously you're going to look at Georgia and you're going to say, that's a tough one, man. We can't get past them. Let's just say you drop the Bulldogs. Man, Auburn has a real shot to stay in this thing. Same thing with Oklahoma. Man, this is big for them. I always said if Sooners are going to have success this season, they have got to hit the ground running, and that's exactly what they've done. So are they back? Hell yeah, they're back. They're 4-0 going into Kent State, and that Red River looming in the background. I cannot wait. But let's not overlook a little of the controversy that came from this game. We're going to start with Oklahoma football coach Brent Venables. What does he got to say about the hideout play?
Touchdown in the first half. Where'd that play come from, and how difficult is that to walk the line with the rule what it is this year?
We didn't substitute. We were on the field. We asked the official for, and we're lined up. We're on the ball. Everything's good and legal. So what? We weren't in a big hurry or anything like that. So.
Venable sucks at lying, don't he? Oh, I'd love to play cards with this guy. And it's like he can't. And Arbuckle's a little better at it, and I'm going to get to him in a second. But I wanted to highlight Razor Bass. If you place a bet up to $500 and lose, you can have Sam Pittman. You know who you can't have? That's Cousin JR, the legend, coming through, gifting a membership to L.A. Mom. Good morning, L.A. Mom. Welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend, JR. Hey, not to be outdone, this isn't the only coach comments here. Brent says, I don't know. I plead the fifth, right? Well, Arbuckle comes out and says, that wasn't a hideaway play. We didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we ran the ball the play before. He just quick motioned over there. And it was a tempo call. He got lined up. He pointed to the official. He was never out of bounds or anything like that. And he just they didn't cover him. So it was good awareness by John to see him with nobody on him. And he just ran. And, you know, it was a great job by him.
How difficult is it to kind of toe the line there between, you know, what that was and, you know, the second plays that they went for those sportsmen like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much toeing the line there was. It was a tempo play, and he pointed to the ref, and the ref nodded his head and said he was in right there. So I don't know how much deception went on there. It was just a ball play that we executed on.
No deception. He told this guy, right? Hell, the coaches are close to the quarterback than he is. Oh, but there was no deception on this play. Come on now. And listen. We can't bring it back. I mean, the SEC officiating came out and said, blah, 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 we were wrong. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's not going to change anything. It's a tough one. And trust me, every football team in the Southeastern Conference has had these moments where they want to blame the officiating. You know, I could go back and I could say there should have been moments in this game that it shouldn't have come down to a ref. You know, I felt like you give up 10 sacks, you're kind of asking for it, but they're right there in the mix. Let's don't give up on Auburn. I felt like there was a little life there. Hugh Freeze was asked after the game about this play, and this is the last one I've got on this controversy, but I just thought, hey, Hugh saw what was going on.
Oh, the one where we tried to call a timeout?
And they pretended to suck him off the field.
Yeah.
The official say anything to
him. Yeah, I guarantee you, well, I better be quiet. Said they didn't hear us trying to call timeout. And we'll see. We were instructed all off season about deception plays and things, so we'll see what's said. I really don't know what will be said about that.
Well, I tell you what, after that statement came out from SEC officiating, Arbuckle did respond via tweet. I've got it here for you. Kiss it! All right. Enough picking. I did see this clip here. Last one on this game. Jackson was walking out of the stadium. And I don't understand. I really don't get the chance. I don't get why we gave Jackson such a hard time. Obviously, he gave you some losses last year, but you know, you kicked him out, right? And there was the sloppy seconds chance. There was Jackson sucks chance. But Jackson had the last word as he's walking out of the stadium here. Oh, you wish you were me. Come on now. I don't know which permanent rivalries, and I probably should remind you that Tuesday we're going to have a watch party, 7 o'clock. They're going to reveal the upcoming three permanent, not permanent, I think they put a shelf life on this thing for 4 or 5 years, but they're going to have that reveal at 7 o'clock Tuesday, and me and Mike, and hopefully you guys can watch that together. But, you know, one of the coolest things, probably the funniest things, the biggest troll. I mean, there was so much trolling going on this weekend, and I loved it. But one of my favorites was from Mizzou football after the South Carolina Mizzou game. That team right there was on fire.
Hopefully, with all the expansion and facility projects they're doing here, we can maybe find a better post-game press conference room with that new development that they're doing out here.
Oh, what a troll game. What an awesome. I mean, this one here, I thought I was wrong. Remember, I had the bet going on in this one that if South Carolina would have won for each point, I'd had to eat chicken. Man, I was really regretting that parts of this football game. South Carolina had its moments, and I'm going to be honest with you, a sloppy game, both sides. But South Carolina, I felt like Lenoris had a couple of those moments that he started to shine, you know, those Heisman moments that we were promised. But when you pair that with negative 9 yards rushing, you're not going to win any games. I felt like the Heisman winner right here this game was Hardy running all over South Carolina. This one here, I'm a little worried, South Carolina moving forward. This is the start of a little bit of a spiral. I mean, we talked about best-case scenario. We were expecting South Carolina to be at least 3-1 by this moment. But being 2-2, and you've got LSU, Oklahoma, Bama, Ole Miss, A&M, I won't even mention Clemson. You should be good there. But I do think that this has got to be – this next week you got to get right. You beat Kentucky, you hit the bye. They need to do some self-awareness, some self-checking there, because honestly, I felt like this game, you should never walk away with 100 yards worth of penalties, negative 9 yards worth of rushing. And I'm not going to include any of Shane Beamer's comments here because it was just a bunch of, you know, we should have, we did, whatever. This is coaching, right? I mean, I felt like South Carolina got outcoached here, and I don't want to not go without giving the respect due to Mizzou here, starting out 4-0. You know, we talked about what was needed to win this football game, and there was some mistakes to be had in here. And the one thing that I will say about Mizzou is it was a total team effort, right? Bo didn't have his best game. Defense didn't have its best game. But, you know, different departments, if you will, picked up the slack. And that was a team win. And looking forward to Mizzou's schedule, I mean, they got UMass coming in and a bye week right before that Bama game. They're sitting pretty. Now, Caden Green, there was some news prior to this one. Green was a scrub. We thought, I shouldn't say he was a scrub. He was scrubbed that he had a minor surgery. They're saying that he's going to be out 3 to 5 weeks. So, he's going to miss the Bama game, Auburn game, potentially the Vanderbilt game. I talked to Mike about this. He thinks it's a bigger thing because, you know, Mizzou's had success running, but they've not played a Bama defense, a Auburn defense, which I thought played phenomenal, shutting down Oklahoma's running game. Vanderbilt playing out of their damn minds right now. So that is interesting, but who cares? You're 4-0. Keep rolling. You know who's not 4-0? Florida Gators. Oh, my God. Listen. It's like you can't – I don't want to pile on, but I do. I mean, Florida Gators are sitting here 1-3. Oh, my God, you know. We thought, worst-case scenario, they'd be 2-2. No. Oh, Billy outdid us here. This is a coach that I'm surprised is still employed down there in Gainesville. And me and Mike even have a side bet. If he's not fired in this bye week, then he wins, and I've got to dress up like Miami Vice come next Sunday. But I'm telling you, what are we doing? What are we waiting on here? Florida could have won this game. Florida could have won the South Florida game. Florida could have won the LSU game. We keep saying that. Well, what's the common factor here? Your ball coach, right? We can't be patient anymore. It's time to shit or get off the pot, and it's time to get off the pot. Get out of here, coach. You're fired. Speaking of fired coaches, Sam Pittman, dead man walking. A lot of people are saying, come on, why is he still employed? They're upset. Why don't we just give the keys over to Bobby P? I'll tell you why. This is why Pittman's buyout has one of the most unusual clauses in college football. His contract states if he's 500 or above since 2021, the Razorbacks would owe him roughly $9.8 million. He's currently 29-26 over that span. If Arkansas finishes the season 4-8, the buyout would be $6.9 million. So we all know Sam's going to lose his job. It's just a matter of time, right? And is it worth $3 million? Absolutely. I think when you got Hunter Yurecek coming out here at the local fund trying to get some money, and you can't say that on one side and not say, hey, unless somebody comes up with that money, and that could happen, and if that does happen, I would expect Sam to be gone. But four wins, I think it's kind of like betting, right? Do you think that they're going to find two more wins? It's possible. I think anything's possible when you got Taylen Green out on the football field. But to be honest with you, I think it's worth $3 million pulling the trigger. And I can't believe I'm saying that because I love Sam. But that's what inspired this list. Fire that bastard. I got Sam at the first spot, Billy second. Stoops, I probably would have had higher, but they didn't play this week, so we didn't talk much about them. Shane Beamer, talk about moving up the list. Golly, Shane Beamer moved up this list. When you got a Heisman candidate quarterback, and this is the football games we're seeing. And listen, I know Shula's getting all the blame, but somebody hired Shula, and it was that man, Shane Beamer. And you live and die with the decisions you make, and bringing him as an offensive coordinator was your decision. Brian Kelly, I know a lot of people gave me a hard time about Brian Kelly because they're undefeated, but let's not act like we're not teetering here, right? I mean, if LSU plays a team with a pulse, I'm not super confident they're going to come away with the win, especially when your best win's against a Clemson team, which apparently sucks. So let's pump the brakes on this one. I feel like those are kind of a tier of their own. I got to put somebody somewhere. I think Freeze, I honestly moved down this list a little bit. I feel like Hugh Freeze is, he's proven that he's a good coach. I mean, obviously, he didn't win this week, but this is a football team that I can honestly see improvement in. Same thing with DeBoer there in Alabama. Sarkisian, we're going to talk about Texas here in a second, but expectations are a lot higher with Alabama and Texas. That's why I've got these boys a little bit higher. And then the rest of it's just kind of I had to put them somewhere. So I got Venables, Lebby, Lee, Elko, Drink, Smart, Hopple, Kiffin. Those guys are in no jeopardy of losing their job, especially Lane Kiffin there at the very bottom. Lane Kiffin walking away with a big win against Tulane, 45-10. This was an absolute – you like fireworks? You got it in this one. And Ole Miss secretly, quietly, looking like one of the best teams in the country. I mean, this is a team that doesn't even have their starting quarterbacks. Been out the last couple of weeks, and what does Lane Kiffin do? He finds another starting quarterback. Now we got a little controversy coming into next week. I really like this Ole Miss Rebel team. Again, for some reason, I mean, if Tulane would have kept this thing close, if Tulane would have won, man, it would have been all over the news. But because you smoked Tulane, we're not talking about it. They should be. They should be talking about these Vanderbilt Commodores, too. 70-21. Oh, my God. You talk about an ass beating. That's what belt to ass. That's what happened here. Vanderbilt 4-0. And I tell you what, I don't want to be a team that has to face these guys because they are playing out of their dang mind right now. I thought one of the best comments of the weekend came from the quarterback, Pavia. And he says, well, let's just let him say it.
Mitch on Tuesday talked about kind of the hurt of last year at Georgia State and that being a loss that kind of motivated them a little bit more. How present was that memory in your preparation this week as a group?
Yeah, I think personally I flushed it. This is a new team. This is a new Vanderbilt. You guys, you know, you feel the energy. You feel the fans coming out. But I always think that, like, no matter who you play, there's always going to be one kid that's going to be his last game seeing you, you know, ever. You know, a lot of I don't come from a lot of money, so I remember, like, going to one game. That was my only impression of him. So I want to, you know, be the best version of me for those kids that, you know, get to only go to one game.
God, I try to hate this guy. I really do. I mean, when the Netflix series came out, you remember where SEC Mike's in it? It's a wonderful show. Be sure to check that out. I walked away from that one, like, on the list I don't like, Pavi was at the top of it. And then week after week, he does shit like this, and he just drags me. I thought I was out, but he's drugged me back in. Come on, Vanderbilt looking. I mean, they are playing out of their dang mind, and I love it because this is what I want ultimately is parity in this league. That means you can't have a Vanderbilt. You don't want to be the punchline anymore. I'm not going to play this entire clip because – as far as excitement, Coach Lee sucks. I mean, he's excited on the sideline, but let's don't act. But he was asked about the culture. He was asked about his football team and the fans and the support that they had. And I thought this was interesting.
How much does it mean to you and the guys when you see a crowd like that where it's almost full for a non-conference game against a non-Power 4 program?
We focus in terms.
Okay, I can't. All right, it's Monday. Coach Lee, come on. It was teed up for you. He was excited. Let me paraphrase for you. He was super excited because this place was packed, and it was against the Georgia State team, right? I mean, they had a 30-minute weather delay, and those boys and girls did not go anywhere. They were there to support, and I feel like this is the scary part about having a team like Vanderbilt in the Southeastern Conference. If it hits, it hits, and you're in Nashville, he wants this to be the start of your weekend. Start your Saturday with the Vanderbilt football game and then go to Broadway and have some fun. And if they can harness that and make it a part of that community, they'll have no trouble keeping this place full. They'll have no trouble finding money to give players through NIL. This is a football team that has been dormant forever, right? And if they come alive, they could be an absolute powerhouse. And we joke, right? It's Vanderbilt, but I'm telling you, man, now that they got a check just like everybody else from Disney, be careful. Those Commodores, if a couple of good hires, a couple of good recruits, they can always stay on top here. But let's talk about the best team in the state of Tennessee. Tennessee Vols whooping up on them UAB Dragons. Oh, my gosh. What a bounce back from that Georgia loss. I just felt like this one was kind of a pick-your-own-score kind of game. The biggest highlight to come from here is Max Gilbert, the kicker, got assaulted during this thing. Yeah, we got it on tape. unacceptable. He must have watched that Georgia game last week. That's what we all want to do. But I do not condone this type of behavior. In fact, Sirrod Bryant from UAB, UAB released a statement, blah, blah, blah. He apologized to Max Gilbert. Good God. Tennessee, moving on. So is Mississippi State. They're back. These Bulldogs quietly sitting over there undefeated. I think they're 27 in the AP right now. They should be within 20, in my opinion. I mean, top four. I mean, they're killing teams, right? Even this was not a great game. They made a lot of mistakes in this one. And, you know, and I don't feel like Shapen had his best game, but it didn't matter because they had the running back. So it's just this one here, you're sleeping on State. They got a big game this week, probably going to get their first loss against them Tennessee Vols. But after that, they should be pretty good. Same thing with Texas. Texas is back, baby. Oh, my gosh. Texas looked pretty good here. I thought the storyline, this is the one we all make fun, right? Did you see Arch? Did you see your Texas football? He's standing over a Sam Houston kid, right? You're supposed to beat teams like this by 50 points. I try not to get sucked into it because the big thing is here, internally, this team needed this game. Arch Manning needed this game. And you could see why he's excited because he's gotten a lot of shit from people like me the last 2-3 weeks. And I know a lot of people picking on him because of this photo. But to be honest with you, who cares? If you are outside of Austin, we're going to pick on you because that's what we do. But if you're inside that camp right now, you realize how big this game was because when Texas, they got some doozies coming up. There's no more Sam Houstons. There's no more UTEPs. You got a beat-up, battered Florida Gator team. You got the Red River coming up. Georgia, Vanderbilt playing out of their damn mind. Texas got some games coming up that if they get caught sleeping or if they play like they did against UTEP, they're going to lose. They're not going to if they play like this one. Big game. Everybody's excited down there at the Texas camp except Arch's mom.
Into that, Houston defender at the goal line.
Yeah, felt good to get back in the end zone. Probably a little mush there. My mom was pretty mad about that. A little immature, but I think it was some built-up frustration for the past few weeks. So.
Why did you need to play with that emotion? Why do you need to?
I get it, Arch. I'm ready for you. You know, you just keep doing you. Same thing at LSU. They finally got a win. Won't spend much time on this one. Big news. Running back gets banged up, Durham, in this game. You hate to see it in these type matchups because probably didn't even need to play. But LSU, 4-0, big game. Ole Miss, we're going to talk about that. I feel like when we're looking at big games this week, we got the LSU-Ole Miss matchup, the Alabama-Georgia. I'm so surprised game day did not select them. They're going to Oregon, Penn State, but some really good football games. Tennessee State, Notre Dame at Arkansas, Auburn at A&M. And a lot of these you'll notice, look, 2.5, 1.5, 6.5, 6.5, 7. These are going to be some damn football games. And, you know, listen, I tried to pump up last week, but we all know last week's slate was kind of rough. There was a couple of good games, but there was a couple of bad ones. This one here, we're going to have action all Saturday long. Come on now. Before we get going, I want to also bring up pizza. All right, this week, you guys suggested the Screaming Sicilian, so that's what I went with. And unfortunately, I don't have a cooked photo because after a lot of Tennessee legend, I forgot to take that picture. It was absolutely delicious. This one here cost a little more expensive, probably the most expensive pie I've tried up to this point. So I gave you 6.6. The toppings, piles of pepperoni, they were not wrong. Got plenty of them on this topping. The crust probably was the highlight for me. Really, really good crust. Felt like it was at a restaurant. 9.4 on the crust. The flavor, now, this is where you got me. Initial taste was great, but there was just, and maybe it's the pepperonis, but I thought it was a little too salty for me. A guy watching this, his blood pressure, I probably shouldn't be eating the Screaming Sicilia, but hell, that was my only complaint was, hell, I'm drunk and I tasted how salty it was because I can imagine when it was sober. But Final score, highest one I've got so far is 33.4. So, Screaming Cecilia, you're winning right now. So, any comments or suggestions for next week's pizza, be sure to let me know, and I will do that. Last one here. It's Monday. It sucks. If it's not a holiday or the time didn't change or we don't have a college football championship tonight, Mondays are just god-awful. So hang in there. And I thought this was the best comment of the week. A lot of people said, Shay, what did you do Saturday night? Well, here it is. Oh, all right, cousins. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful Monday. We're 30 minutes closer to clocking out. I appreciate all of you guys hanging out. And if you need any bail money, give me a call. Love you. Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.